The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
On News Talk.
With me now is Liam Moakler from Cool Slithers and Adrian Moran from Moran Hurleys as well to talk about their own particular businesses. And you're very, very welcome, gentlemen. It's good to see you both. Liam, I was astounded kind of reading a bit about it. Pakistan is where you go to get the leather for slithers.
Yeah, the world's the best leather is in Pakistan, and so that's where you go. You go where the raw material is.
And why is that? What's so good about the leather in Pakistan? Why is there such a leather industry?
I suppose it's historic. They always had the cricket balls, so it came from that. And then the logistics side of it, opposed to further afield, there's longer lead times, more difficult to deal with. Whereas the guys over there, they're easy to deal with, and they'll do anything for you.
And would it be possible to do it here in Ireland, or just the manufacturing costs would be too high?
It's not the cost. We all believe in, no different than myself, buy local, keep it local, buy Irish. But there is a cost factor. And the problem there would be the clubs. Clubs today don't have money.
Yeah.
Like, if you were to do everything local, you'd be looking at twice, three times the price. And the clubs just can't sustain that. It's not there today. And that's the big problem.
And when it comes to manufacturing a slither, I mean, do you go to the GAA or the Camogie Association and apply for a license? Or you know what I mean? There's standards that must apply, I'm sure.
There is. They have their own specifications.
Okay.
Like, even for the GAA now, they brought in a new ball in the 1st of January 2024. So they designed a ball in association with DCU. And they have a standard, and the new ball must meet that standard, and then you buy a license.
And how much variation is there between the different slithers and different manufacturers now?
Well, today it's very small.
Yeah.
And that's why they brought in the new license. Up until then, there was quite a difference between a size 5 ball, which is an adult size 5 ball, from one supplier to another supplier.
Well, famously, an O'Neill's ball would go over the bar and Donalogue would produce a Cummins slitter from a bag.
But you see, that was it back then, and that's why it was done, because there was a variation.
Yeah.
Today, they're all the same weight, the rib are the same size, the leather is up to the same standard.
And when it comes to hurls, what are the rules and regulations around the size of hurls? I know we'll talk about how they're all using these tiny little hurls these days. I can't get my head around it anyway, these young lads. But are there rules and regulations?
Yeah, firstly, Kieran, thanks for having me on the show to speak about the hurley making. There are regulations which are dating back a long time now, but they wouldn't be really here to. But over the last number of years, the hurls have gotten shorter for the adults and the bosses have gotten bigger. And that's just down to the inter-county hurler coming onto the field with a different shape, different size of a boss, and the 8, 9, 10-year-old sees that, and it just filters through the whole school system, the whole way up to the underage system.
And much like the slithers, is there still variation county to county, or are they much more uniform now across the country? When I was young, there was you could say that was a Tipperary hurl, that was a Cork hurl, you know, and a Kilkenny hurl again was a different shape and much less of a heel on it compared to those two counties.
There would be an awful lot more variation now. So,
okay.
Like, going back 15 years ago, your Dáil hurl was, we'll say, your Tipperary Dáil hurl. Now there could be 10 Tipperary hurley makers with different shapes. So when a young man comes into my workshop, or a girl, and they want a Tipperary shape, they have to produce the hurl that they already have in order to make a copy of that. And that's throughout the country, so it's very, very hard to keep up with all the shapes. A lot of hurley makers just make 4 or 5 shapes and stick to that because it's a simpler process.
So tell me about the workshop then as well, and who you've got working in it. I understand you've got, you know, a fella down from the local iPad centre and everything working, such as the volume of hurls you're making.
Yeah, that's correct. And I suppose that's down through our heritage as well. It's very hard to get people to work in the hurley making industry because there's actually the craft of it, you know, is something that we don't want to lose. But we need to try and encourage younger people to get into the game, and there's actually no system for them to come through as an apprentice or anything like that in the craft of hurley making at the moment. So hopefully further down the road that could be looked at. I have a guy called Sam. He joined me last September just after the National Ploughing Championships in the workshop, He's full time. He's in the IPAS centre locally. We're trying to get him through the system here to get him kind of a status in the country and get him fully set up. So working very well, an absolute gentleman.
So where is the industry going? I remember a few years ago that all the rhetoric was around outsourcing. We were all going to get our hurls from Poland and places. And I remember when the Careys as well, Kenny went off to Poland to start making hurls as an example. But you know, there's more and more kind of lads like yourselves setting up shop, it seems. So
yeah,
you know,
moment,
where is the industry going?
Sorry, at the moment there's the Irish Guild of Hurley Makers. There's about 30 members in that, and look, we'd be hoping that we'd be able to stop the importation of hurls, that the craft stays within the country. You're always going to have to import the timber because of the Irish dieback disease, which spread across Europe but hit Ireland here very intensively. But over the last number of months...
Where are you getting the ash from then? Where does it come in from?
I've been importing from the Ukraine for the last number of years, probably 6-7 years coming in from the Ukraine. Like a lot of other guys, you have to outsource the timber, but I think it's most important that we keep the craft within the country.
Yeah.
And that would be part of the Guild. Now, I'm not here to speak on behalf of the Guild. I'm only a member. But I think that would be one of our main focuses, is to keep the craft within the country.
Liam, in terms of technology as well, microchips and hurling balls, what's this about?
Okay, the new chip, I suppose, doesn't really do anything, right? All it does is make the ball authentic. It doesn't measure how fast the ball. It doesn't tell if the ball goes over the bar, under the bar, or where it goes. You can't find it out in the field. It just tells you it's authentic.
So that's all it is. It's just that's so you can it scan it and say this is a genuine.
Exactly.
Cool.
There's nothing else.
All right. Is the vision that these chips will be used for your Hawkeye or whatever it happens to be eventually?
Down the road, possibly, but today it can be done. You can put a chip in a ball and you get a nap, and if I hit it over the ditch, Mammy can find it. But the problem is the cost of that.
Yeah.
So that's not there today. Will it come? I expect it will. Like all things, it'll come. But today the chip is only authenticize the ball. That's it.
I like the authenticity of that response, because young lads and young ones are terrible to go looking for their own hurling balls. It is Mammy or Daddy who has to go and find it.
That's the way it has gone. Back in my day, often 15 lads went down to a pitch, they hadn't a ball and in behind the goals to find the ball, or else there was no training. Today it's nearly a ball and a half per kid.
Yeah, it is. Good. That's good for your business, though. You're not giving out about that, are you?
Not complaining.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, more hurling balls.
Yes.
And more hurls. A final question, Adrian, before I let you go, because someone said it in. Can you ask Adrian how often hurley makers recommend a child gets a bigger hurl as they grow?
It all depends.
Every 6 months is you.
Every 3 weeks.
Yeah.
Look at the sport growth of the child is very hard to answer that question, but I suppose the most important thing for adults to realise is that when they come to a hurley makers workshop, come with the attitude of the hurl that will develop to help the player develop, rather than a hurl that will do the child for 2 or 3 years. So we try and scale the hurl to the wrist, rather than a parent trying to encourage you to get a hurl that will last 2 or 3 years.
Yeah.
It's for the development of the wrist.
It is. Listen, I will actually be hung, drawn and quartered if I do an entire segment about hurley makers and Tom Donoghue doesn't get a mention in our own club. He would kill me. There's the due mention for Tom. But Adrian, thank you very much.
Thank you,
Moran from Moran Hurleys, and Liam Oakler from Cool Slitters.
The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
Weekdays from 4 on News Talk.